Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see you. Here we are back at 6 o'clock, going through the electronic media again. But it is wonderful to be here with you all my brothers and sisters at Calvary Fellowship tonight. Also, to the many of you who are joining us from all over. You know, one of the things that absolutely shocked me last week, I mean, I was pretty certain that we'd just have our couple dozen people from Calvary Fellowship watching, and yet we had many people from all over the place joining us last week. So that was pretty wonderful, and it was wonderful to talk with some of you this week as well. Tonight, I just kind of want to jump right into this. Last week, I kind of shared a lot of what's happening and what things are currently going on and some of the things that I need to bring you up to speed on. Right now, things are still pretty much as they were. We're still continuing forward with an online streaming on Saturday nights. I know that the ladies' Bible study, I believe this coming Thursday, is also going to be doing something of a similar nature. I think there's some differences. And so, ladies, make sure you be paying attention to that and look for those invitations from Lisa Leidenberger. But anyway, a lot of those invitations, a lot of those announcements, a lot of those things we can handle through Facebook, through text, through emails, and so forth. So what I want to do is just jump into the Word, if that's cool with you guys. So I invite you all, if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, open them with me to Matthew chapter 6. Now, I mentioned last week, I know Matthew chapter 6 is not Malachi chapter 2. I mentioned last week that my plan tonight was to get back into our verse-by-verse study in the book of Malachi. But throughout this week, as I was studying in Malachi, I also had the opportunity to spend time with a lot of you, of course, by phone and by text, by email, social media, and so forth. And like I said, people who weren't even part of our church, I was having the pleasure of spending time with you. But it was interesting to me this week because the things that people wanted to talk about almost entirely fell into two categories. The first category was anxiety and worry and fear and how we deal with these things right now. And the second category were questions about the end times and the return of Christ. And as the week went on, I kind of felt more and more that the Lord was wanting me to focus on the very real issue. Issues of anxiety that so many of us are dealing with, given the situation going on in our country and in our world. Now, regarding that second category, the subject of Christ's return and whether that's, you know, all that's happening in our world right now are part of the signs that he is about to come back and take us home. Let me just speak to that just super briefly. My first response to that is, boy, I sure hope so, because I'm sure, like many of you, I would love to go see the Lord. However, let me kind of give you the same answer tonight that it's kind of the same way I've answered all of you who've asked me about this over the past week. The reality, guys, is that we have been in the last days since the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And yes, Scripture does give us prophetic signs that will be evident shortly before Christ's second coming. But the fact that Christians here in America, at this time, it seems very much so, are so hyper-focused on the end times, I think is really more of an indicator of how easy we have things in this country compared to much of the rest of the world. I mean, what I mean by that is we are generally so safe and secure here that when we even begin to get a taste of the troubles and dangers that much of the rest of the world deals with on a daily basis, our minds immediately run to apocalyptic scenarios. So, is this coronavirus pandemic a sign of the soon return of Christ? Maybe, maybe not. The reality is there have been many pandemics throughout history that were not signs of the times. As I'm sure we are all painfully aware, we live in a fallen world, a world tainted by sin, and pandemics and many other tragedies and trials that befall us are, more often than not, merely the sad result of mankind's choice to rebel against our God and Creator. Now, someday, when Jesus Christ does return, amen, guys, He will make all things right. So we do, we look forward expectantly to His soon return. But in the meantime, we live in this world, do we not? And we live in this world as His children, as His followers, and as His messengers. Which brings me to that subject that was the predominant one in many of my conversations this past week. And that is, how do we live as Christians in a world that seems so unstable, so scary, even deadly? Well, Scripture has a lot to say about such things. We saw that last weekend, Isaiah 41, last Saturday. So I want to talk tonight about how we as God's children can have peace. I suspect even right now some of you are going, I want peace. Well, I want to talk about how we can have that even in the middle of a pandemic. I have a sneaking suspicion. I don't know for sure, but I got a feeling this is likely going to be part one of multiple parts over the coming weeks. But as I was praying this week about what God is saying to us right now, I was drawn over and over to two places in God's Word. The first is our main passage for tonight, Matthew chapter 6. And that's starting in verse 25. And we're going to read that here in a moment. But the other passage, which I want to read first, is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Just one short little verse. But before we jump into that, why don't we pray together? Let's ask the Lord to bless His word tonight. Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank You for the immense privilege that we have in this day and age, to even gather around Your word as we all sit in our own homes, in our own places, in our own cars, looking at phones or computers or television screens. Lord, the one constant in that is Your word. And You are not hampered to work through Your word just simply because we are electronically spending time in it together. So I ask, Lord, that You would take Your word tonight and apply it to our hearts. If those who are listening tonight are anything like me, Lord, they need and want peace. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us peace, show us peace, help us to reorient our thinking, to get right perspective so that we might, in fact, have the peace that You desire us to have. And Lord, I ask that Your word would accomplish what You are sending it out for tonight. And I thank You in advance that it will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, this is what Proverbs 12:25 says. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Now, the reason this verse came to my mind is because I see so much anxiety right now. I'm sure you do too. And when I see it and when I feel it, it feels so heavy. It feels like weight, doesn't it? I mean, honestly, we're already anxious people. I saw this statistic this week. It shocked me. Did you know that for every generation over the last century, people in the United States have been three times more likely to struggle with anxiety or depression than the preceding generation? Think about that, guys. Basically, we are tripling our struggles with anxiety and depression with every generation. We are so anxious about so many things. And just like this verse says, those anxieties weigh us down. As I was reading this verse, there was a picture that came to my mind, a backpack. Some of you are backpackers, you know, Jim Burnett and John Doerrick, and you guys, a lot of you love backpacking. And you when you go hiking, you're throwing on those backpacks. And our anxieties are like filling our backpacks up with weight, heavy weights. And this is something that we do and have done since we were little. I mean, from early in life, we are worried and are anxious about what other people will think of us. I mean, as much as we'd like to think that that goes away as we get older, the reality of it is still hidden pretty deep inside of us. And it affects what we do in many ways throughout our lives. What people think about us is a constant anxiety. As students, you grow up, as you were a student, or maybe you're a student now, and we start to wonder, am I going to get into this school? Is this school going to accept me? Am I going to be able to afford this college or this school? And what do? We put that weight in our backpack. Or once we get into a school, then we're saying, am I going to get this job? Am I going to find this career? And we take that and we put it in our pack. And then we start to think, okay, am I going to get married? You know, we're anxious about if we're going to get married and who we might marry. And then there comes anxiety about whether or not we're going to stay married and how our marriage is going to go. And then once we're married, we start getting anxious about whether or not we're going to have children. So that's a whole nother level of anxiety. And then we actually have children. You want to talk about a level of anxiety sometimes. And we start getting anxious about how those kids are going to turn out. And we haven't even gotten to the anxieties about our finances, about how we're going to pay the bills. So we add all of that to the pack as well. And all the anxiety, add all that anxiety in of what's going to happen in the future. The unknown of the next year, the next 2 years, the next 3 years. And anxiety like this can turn into this string of worries of what ifs that we just start churning over in our minds. For example, we start thinking, you know, if we got kids, we're thinking, well, what if I don't have enough money to get my kids braces? That's some anxiety, right? Because I know braces cost a lot of money. Well, if I don't have that extra money, what's going to happen if my kids have crooked teeth? There's an extra anxiety. We churn some more and then we start thinking, well, if my kids have crooked teeth, that might keep them from getting a great job or from getting married. And if that's true, that means they're going to have to live with me for the rest of their lives because I wasn't able to get them braces. So there's all that extra weight of anxiety. And all of a sudden, things start piling on. And boy, we sure end up with a pretty full, heavy pack. Do some of you feel like that? Do you feel like you got this heavy weight on you? And obviously, I've just mentioned some very general things, haven't I? I haven't even gotten to the specifics in each of our lives that we get concerned about. So we're already anxious. Our pack is full. And then along comes a pandemic, a worldwide spread of a new disease. And now we're grabbing a whole new backpack in addition to the others. And we're filling the new one with all of the anxieties that come with the pandemic. Ones we come up with on our own, ones we see propagated on the news or on the internet. We're thinking, money-wise, what's our financial situation going to look like? What's our economy going to look like? And let's throw all that in the pandemic backpack. What about school? How's that going to work? What's our education? What's our kids' education going to look like? And what about work? How's this going to play out at my work? And so we put that in the backpack. Or what about my health? Am I going to get sick? Are my loved ones going to get sick? Will there be enough medicine? Will there be enough ventilators? Can I afford it? Let's put all that in the backpack. Will I have enough food and essential resources? And then what seems to be apparently the most pressing question, will I have enough toilet paper? Apparently. So we put all of that stuff in the backpack. So now we have a global pandemic. Our backpack's already full, but now we're going to load on some more. We're going to stuff more in there, and this becomes the picture of our lives right now. Well, guys, in light of Proverbs 12:25, we have a picture of you and me and our families weighed down with anxieties on so many different levels. I know many of you feel that weight right now, and I think many of us do. I look around at people's faces. I have conversations with them. You hear it in their voice. There's a heaviness with all kinds of things in life. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. But a good word makes it glad. I like the last half of that verse a lot. This verse came to my mind this week because as I'm looking out across our city, our country, our world, there are a lot of different people carrying a lot of different weights. So I want to give you a good word that makes you glad. Are you for that? Does that sound like something you could use here tonight? Now, I suspect the last thing you all need from me is for me to come up with what I think is a good word. I've noticed over the last few weeks, on the internet especially, how there are plenty of people trying to encourage people by sharing their own good words. Now, that's all fine, I suppose, but instead of that, I want to give you a good word that comes straight from the mouth of Jesus. Straight from the mouth of God in the flesh. Which is what brings us back around to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And as we look at this passage together tonight, I just want to encourage you, if I can, in just seven simple ways that Jesus gives us. And I hope you will soak these realities in as long as this pandemic lasts and hopefully much, much longer. So let's hear a word from Jesus himself. Jesus says, starting in verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. That they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself, not even Solomon, forgive me, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, the first thing that I want you all to notice, and I suspect you already did, but Jesus repeats something very specific three times in that passage. In verse 25, he says, "Do not be worried." In verse 31, he says, "Do not worry. Then in verse 34, so do not worry. Now, maybe I'm just being too simplistic about this, but it sure seems to me that Jesus desires us to be totally free from worry and anxiety in this world. Do you get that feeling from reading what we just read? Now here's the deal. As soon as I say that, I figure I need to define what worry and anxiety are because, well, those are not always the easiest ideas to define. A dictionary definition of anxiety is this: a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease about either an imminent event or an uncertain outcome. That sounds about right to me. The American Psychological Association defines anxiety as an emotion characterized by a feeling of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes like increased blood pressure. They follow that then by saying that this can lead to anxiety disorders characterized by states of excessive uneasiness and apprehension, often with compulsive behavior or panic attacks. And then they go on to list some of the signs of anxiety. Listen to this list: irritability, anger, sweating, unusual mood swings, rapid heartbeat, chest pain, exhaustion, nervous twitching, decreased concentration and memory, nausea, shortness of breath, hair loss, weight gain or weight loss, panic, indecisiveness, muscle tension, insomnia, high blood pressure, and the list, guys, goes on and on. Now, I'm assuming that many people are familiar with some of these signs to some degree, but it occurred to me as I was looking these things up that if you kind of put all that together, just trying to define anxiety can even give you a bit of anxiety. But the reason this is important, guys, is because we need to be careful not to read our definitions of anxiety into the biblical use of the word. For example, someone may have clinical anxiety, a medical condition that includes some of the side effects that I just mentioned. And then when they hear Jesus command his disciples, do not be anxious, do not worry, they might start thinking, wait a minute. Is my medical condition a sin? Well, as best as we can tell, Jesus is not referring here to a medical condition. And then it gets even a little more complicated because there are other places in the Bible where worry is talked about as a good thing. In Philippians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about his anxiousness for the churches that he cared so much about. The picture there is one of genuine concern for people. So what then does Jesus mean when he says, do not worry, do not be anxious? What does anxiety mean here? Well, guys, here's my best attempt to define it biblically. And anxiety and worry are often used interchangeably in the Bible. You could almost throw fear in there sometimes too. So kind of, I'm including all of those here. But according to Scripture, anxiety is carrying concerns in this world in such a way that we lose perspective on life and or we lack trust in God. Anxiety is being weighed down with concerns, just like Proverbs 12:25 said. As we saw with Paul, having concerns in this world is not necessarily a bad thing. It's right to be concerned for other people and even for certain things for ourselves. The problem comes, guys, when we begin to carry our concerns in such a way that we lose perspective on life, and we begin to exhibit a lack of trust in God. This is what Jesus desires to free us from in Matthew chapter 6. Now, when I define anxiety in that way, I trust you realize that this is exactly the kind of anxiety we are tempted to have right now, isn't it? We are tempted to walk through everyday life with anxiety just like this, and then all the more so when a virus is spreading around the world. We are tempted to lose perspective, and we are tempted to distrust our Heavenly Father. So in a world with so much anxiety, what does Jesus say weighs us down? Well, he mentions seven truths in this passage that I think give us a right perspective. Seven good words for us. And the first good word is this: your life is about more than anything this world offers you. Your life is about more than anything that this world offers you. What Jesus says in verse 25 is so interesting to me. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. I want you to think for a moment about those three things that Jesus mentions here: food, drink, and clothing. Those are pretty basic needs, wouldn't you agree? If you're going to worry about anything, sure seems like these would be at the top of the list. These are not frivolous things. Jesus isn't saying, don't be anxious about what kind of car you drive. You know, don't be anxious about how many Instagram followers you have. He's saying, don't be anxious about water or food or clothes. Basic needs. So, why would we not worry about them? Well, simply put, Jesus says, because your life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. Your life is about more than what you eat or what you drink or what you wear. And guys, when you realize that, you can almost put anything that the world offers into that sentence, can't you? Think about the many things that you and I are tempted to worry about and put them in the blank. Your life is about more than what others think of you. Your life is about more than what school you get into. Your life is about more than what job you have. Your life is about more than how much money you make. Your life is about more than whether you get married or whether you have kids. Speaking directly into this pandemic, your life is definitely about more than what happens in the government or what happens in the shutdown sports world. Your life is about so much more than what happens at your school. And ultimately, your life is about so much more than what happens with your health. Anxiety is care and concerns about these things in this world in ways that lose perspective on what your life is ultimately about. And your life is about more than anything that this world offers you. But Jesus has more good words for you. Do you want more? More good words from Jesus? Secondly, Jesus tells us this: your life is about trusting the God who eternally values you. Your life is about trusting the God who eternally values you. All of this kind of leads us to the question, what is my life all about? And what does Jesus say in verse 26? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? That's a pretty loaded question. So apparently your life is about more than anything this world offers you, because your life is about trusting the God who eternally loves and values you. Look at the birds, Jesus says. Who knew that the antidote to anxiety was bird watching, apparently? I mean, how do you have peace in the middle of a pandemic? Jesus says, look at the birds. Guys, did you know that there are no worried birds right now? None. No bird is frantically watching Fox News or CNN right now. No bird is poring frantically over the latest articles online. No bird is worried about what's coming next. Why not? Well, because the birds know that God will provide for them. And if they know that, Jesus says you can know that too. Why? Because you are more valuable to God than the birds. Oh, guys, you are God's prized creation. Did you know that? You are eternally valuable to God. Now, if you're joining us tonight, and maybe you're not a follower of Jesus right now, oh, maybe you're, joining with friends or neighbors or family members. Oh, maybe you're exploring Christianity on your own. Let me just pause here for a second. I want to give you a big picture storyline of the Bible. We are all created by God and are loved by God. However, sadly, we have all sinned against God. We have all turned aside from God's ways to our own ways. And as a result of that, we are separated from a holy, perfect God. And the effects of sin in our world are all around us, aren't they? Including things like natural disasters and sickness and pandemics. None of these things were intended by God when He created it all, but our sin introduced it. But the good news of the Bible is that God loves us, and He has not left us alone in our separation from Him. God has come to us in the person of Jesus, who lived the sinless life that none of us could ever live. And then, even though He had no sin to pay any judgment for, to endure any justice for, He chose to die on a cross to pay the price for your sin and my sin against God. Jesus died for our sin. And then, 3 days later, He rose from the grave in victory over sin and over death, so that anyone, anywhere in the world, who turns from their sin and puts their trust in Jesus will be fully forgiven of all their sin and restored to relationship with God for all of eternity. I'm sure you've heard it before, but as John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Now, bring that to bear here in Matthew 6:28, where Jesus starts talking about flowers and how well they're dressed. And then in verse 30, look what He says. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? You of little faith? We're all very much aware that grass and flowers just last for a very short time, and yet God clothes them in beauty. They last just for a little bit of time, but you're going to last forever. Put this in perspective, okay? Jesus is saying, look at the lilies, the flowers, and the grass, and how they're clothed. Why are you worried about what to wear when God is going to dress you in eternal glory? Why are you worried about your paycheck when God is going to give you the whole earth as your inheritance? Why are you worried about your position at work when you're going to reign in God's kingdom forever? Why are you worried about your health when God Himself has guaranteed you eternal life? Guys, your life is about so much more than all these things that are weighing you down. Your life is about trusting the God who eternally loves you and values you. Personally, I think that totally changes our perspective on everything. Jesus then makes a third, very simple, logical point in our passage. And this is a good word, no matter how simple it is. And it's this: avoid anxiety because it's unhelpful. How's that for simple, right? But that's what Jesus says in verse 27. He says it's pointless. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? That's what they call a rhetorical question. Because the answer is, none of us can add an hour to anything. We can't change any of those things, and worrying certainly doesn't do that either. Worrying doesn't make things better. It only makes things worse. It is completely and entirely counterproductive. I mean, come on. Life is challenging enough as it is, isn't it? Why weigh yourself down with worry on top of everything else? Excuse me. Jesus says to you and me, avoid anxiety, because frankly, it is extremely unhelpful. He then gives us a fourth good word, a fourth perspective, and it's this: avoid anxiety because it's for unbelievers. Let me say that again, because that might not be something we've ever thought about before. Avoid anxiety because it's for unbelievers. In verse 31, I want you to listen again, or you obviously read along with me, what Jesus says here. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Basically, Jesus is saying here that worrying is what the world does, not what God's people do. If I could kind of apply these words from Jesus to our situation right now, it's like Jesus is saying, listen, if you don't know that God is in control right now, and you don't know God as your Father, who values you as His child, then you have a lot of reasons to be worried in this world. But guys, if you do know the God who's in control, if you know His goodness and His greatness and His mercy and His wisdom and His love, then you not only know about Him, you actually know Him as your Heavenly Father. And if you have a relationship with God as Dad, and you know that He values you as His child, then you have no reason to be worried, right now or at any time. Anxiety and worry is for unbelievers in this sense, not for believers. Another way to put it is that anxiety, as we've defined it here, is a sign of unbelief in God, not of belief in God. Anxiety is for unbelievers. A fifth good word from Jesus to us in our passage is this: God, your Heavenly Father, knows all that you need. I suspect you noticed that when we just read it previously, right? Isn't that what he's saying in verse 32? He's saying, hey, the unbelievers, they eagerly seek all these things, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows it all. Jesus is saying, guys, that God knows every single thing that each one of us needs right now, and He knows it better than even we do. Can I say that one more time? Listen closely, Christian. To all who know God as Father through Jesus, God knows everything you need, better than even you know what you need. God is not up in heaven looking down on you saying, oh my gosh, what does he need? Oh, I wonder what she needs right now. No. God is in heaven saying, I know exactly what you need, better than you know yourself. And this is exactly why Jesus then goes on to say in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All of them will be added to you. All of your needs. It is a promise, guys. And I'd say that's a pretty good word that makes one glad, yes? That is the sixth good word that Jesus has given us here. God, your heavenly Father, will supply all that you need. Not only does God, our heavenly Father, know all that we need, but he will supply all that we need. If he knew, but didn't do anything about it, that wouldn't be a good word, would it? But he does both. All these things will be added to you. How's that for a promise? From the one who possesses everything. We're not talking about Amazon here, guys. I know we probably have all started to think that Amazon has everything, you know, until everyone started buying all the Clorox wipes and toilet paper, and then the supply line was empty. Oh my gosh. But guys, here's the difference. With God, the supply line is always full. Always full. You don't have to worry about your Heavenly Father running out of strength when you are weak. He never runs out of courage when you're afraid. He never runs out of hope when you're hurting. And ultimately, he will not run out of life when you are dying. Every moment, for all of eternity, your Heavenly Father will supply all that you need. Which brings us to one last good word that Jesus has for us tonight. And it's this. God guarantees you mercy today for trouble today, and mercy tomorrow for trouble tomorrow. Look at what Jesus says there in verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Guys, those words right there, those words spoken from the mouth of Jesus for us are life-changing if we will grasp them and live in them. And this is so important, especially in these days. Let me put it this way. Who among you right now, as you're listening in, or maybe as you listen in at some other time, who among you knows what the news is going to say tomorrow? Anybody? I mean, we might have some guesses. We might even have some educated guesses. But do any of you know? Do any of you know what this situation is going to look like tomorrow? None of us does. No one in the world does. And that right there leads many to worry and anxiety, especially if you think things might get worse. We're already weighed down today. And so we start thinking, I can't take any more tomorrow. That, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? This is bad today. What's tomorrow going to be like? But that's just it, guys. The mercies that God gives you today are not designed to carry the burdens that may come tomorrow. God's mercies today are designed to carry today's troubles. And then, when tomorrow comes, if new trouble comes, new mercy will come with it. And guys, this is not just cute platitudes, bumper sticker theology. This is guaranteed by God. I don't know what tomorrow holds in my life. I don't know what it holds in your life or in the world. But I do know that tomorrow's mercy from God will be sufficient for tomorrow's trouble. And you know what that means, guys? That means that you and I have no reason to worry for a second about what tomorrow holds. When we get there, new mercy will be waiting for us. And guys, that guarantee frees us from anxiety. And that's the point of what Jesus is saying here. So, let me bring this to an end. Right now, millions of people are weighed down with anxieties in this world, amidst a pandemic in this world. And I have a good word to make you glad. Jesus will free you from anxiety. He will free you from the weight of worry. Jesus will free you from the fear of the future. Jesus will give you total peace in the middle of a pandemic if you will trust in Him and cast your anxieties on Him. Now, please understand, guys, I am not presuming or inferring that these days we are in are easy. They're not. But life is a lot harder, and these days are a lot harder if we're weighed down with anxiety and worry and fear in the midst of them. So this is the good word I have for you today. There is someone who will take these anxieties from you. Someone who has clearly said, do not be anxious. You don't have to carry any of that. In a world of unknowns, cast all your anxieties on me, because I care for you. That's the picture I want you to have. This is a daily battle, isn't it? Because you know what? Tomorrow, you and I, we're going to want to take those anxieties back. And the next day, and the next day. The Lord's encouragement to us is, don't do it. And this isn't just about giving your anxieties to Jesus. It's about giving your life to Jesus. How do you have peace in the middle of a pandemic? How do you have faith over fear in an unknown future? Here's how. Trust Jesus with your life. That's the beauty of what Jesus has done. He comes to you, guys, and He doesn't just take your heavy backpack off of you, or heavy backpacks if you have multiples of them. You know what He does? He comes to you and He takes all of you upon Himself. He comes to you and He says, I will carry you. I will take responsibility personally to provide for you. I just want to encourage you tonight to trust in Him and let Him not just give you peace, but let Him be your peace in the middle of this hard time. I want to invite you, maybe to, if you want, to bow your head right where you're sitting, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Just pause for a minute and think about and answer these questions. Do you know Jesus as your peace? Do you know God as your Heavenly Father because you've put your faith in Jesus, because you trust in Jesus? If your answer to those questions is not a resounding yes, then I want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus right now. I can't be there with you right now. I can't put my arm around you and pray with you directly, but I do invite you to pray this to God. Dear God, I know I have sinned against you. I know that I am separated from you by my sin. But today, tonight, here, I'm saying that I need you to save me from my sin. I need you to bring me back into relationship with you. Tonight, I believe Jesus died on a cross for my sin, that he then rose from the dead in victory over sin and sickness and death. Tonight, I trust Jesus as my life, as my joy, as my peace. Guys, when you put your faith in Jesus in this way, do you know what God does? God declares you forgiven of your sin. All of your sin in the past, all of your sin right now, and all of the sin you'll ever commit in the future, he declares you forgiven. And better than that, he declares you his child. And even in above and beyond that, God declares you free from the anxieties of this world. Would you all pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for the people right now who have just trusted in you. I pray that they will know and feel and realize your peace for the first time here tonight. I pray that they would have peace with you and that you have taken responsibility for the provision of their every need for the rest of eternity. God, I pray that those who trusted in you tonight would have the courage also to share that with someone. Whether it's maybe with us online or with some friends or family members or someone that they know who's a follower of Jesus, that they might grow in peace that Jesus wants them to have. Father, I also pray for each one of us when we are tempted, as we certainly will be, to pick up that backpack with all kinds of weights in it. Oh Lord, help us put it back down. Help us instead to jump into your arms and let you carry us. We are so glad, I am so glad that you carry us. And so we say to you tonight, Father, help us to not be anxious. Help us to trust in you in all of these ways that we've seen tonight. You are our Savior, our Provider, our God, our King, our Lord. You are our Promise Keeper and Miracle Worker who provides everything we need. And we worship you tonight, our peace in the middle of this pandemic. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, guys, it's been a wonderful, what's it been now, 50 minutes or so spending time with you tonight and spending time in the Word. Just want to know that we are available as leaders in this church. We want to minister to you in any way that we can, whether it's myself or my wife or Ivan or George or Roger, Nancy, Joshua, any of us desire to minister to you. And I know that we have some separation between us at the moment, but we can still talk. There's telephones, there's texts, there's emails, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram. I don't know. There's a million different things, it seems. We want to minister to you as best we can. If there are things that you heard tonight that you want to talk about, we want to talk with you about them. If you're wanting to accept Jesus as your Savior, if the things you've heard tonight have the Holy Spirit has used it to bring you to a place where you want to get saved, and maybe you didn't do it right then and there when I was talking, let us know. We want to talk with you. We can answer questions. We can help you. We can get you a Bible. We can do those things to help minister to you. And I just want you to know that is available. And that we love you guys. And God willing, I will see you real soon. God bless you guys.